familiar verse that Jesus said to his disciples was, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." That's what he wanted his disciples to be doing, going and making disciples and baptizing them. I must admit, though, that as a teenager, being baptized wasn't something that I thought of really at all. And it wasn't until I was 19 and I got serious about serving the Lord, had a desire then to please the Lord and to do what he wants, that I started to think about being baptized. Only problem was, I was scared stiff about getting up the front and talking in front of people. And so, because of that, lots of excuses ran through my mind why there was no need for me to be baptized. For example, I thought, well, it doesn't really matter. I can serve the Lord and obey him and follow him without being baptized. You know, I don't have to be baptized to do that. As well as that, I convinced myself, which it was a true argument, there is nothing special about that water that I get dunked into. It's not going to change me into some super Christian. It's not like I need that water to be in that water to be able to live the Christian life. I'm in water all the time, and it's just that sort of water. So I convinced myself that it wasn't like I really needed it. Besides, getting wet in front of everybody and embarrassing myself, there's far better ways to show the Lord that I love him than doing it that way, I thought. So, and I thought to myself, well, when I'm much older and I've proved my love for the Lord for many years, then I'll consider being baptized. I feel worthy to be baptized then. And so these were some of the arguments that were flooding through my mind. Even though the Holy Spirit was pressing upon my heart the need to be baptized. But ultimately, the reason why I decided to be baptized was I knew that that's what Jesus wanted. And it was just simply a matter of obedience, nothing else. I thought it was silly in many ways. I couldn't see how it was going to help me. But Jesus wanted it to be done. And if that's the case, well, then I will do it. And so I was baptized. And looking back now, even though there was that fear of getting up the front and talking in front of everybody and trying to make up excuses, I see now that really I didn't actually have a clear understanding of what baptism really was or why you get baptized. I know my father was a pastor, but there wasn't very many baptisms. He had a congregation, I think the average age was about 70, 75. I dare say most of them had been baptized by then, or they weren't willing to be baptized by then. And so you didn't see very many. I don't think I saw any, actually, growing up. And so it wasn't something that I was really aware of, which made me realize that as a pastor here, I have a responsibility to make sure that no one is ignorant in the area of baptism. I don't want you to use the excuse, well, I've never really been taught what it is and why I should, and so I don't feel as though I need to. And so if the Holy Spirit has been pressing upon your heart the need to be baptized, I don't want you to be able to use that the excuse of ignorance. So I thought, since it's a baptismal service, this would be the ideal opportunity to just go through the basics of what baptism really is. And so the first question is, what is baptism? You know, we talk about baptism, but many people have various concepts of what that means. Is baptism a sprinkling of water over your head or a pouring of some sort of water over your head generally when you're young? And if you talk to some people, they'll say that they were baptized when they were a baby. Now, people can call that whatever they want. But if they really want to be clear and understanding of what God's word says and what the word means, they can't call it a baptism. It's a sprinkling, maybe a pouring, but not a baptism. There is a word, a Greek word, that is translated sprinkling, I won't bore you with the name of the Greek word. It's used in the book of Hebrews when it's talking about the sprinkling of blood upon the altar. And that is used in it, the correct context. But never is that Greek word used in the context of baptism. And the reason for that is the word baptism or baptize in the Greek is literally to immerse. And so it is to put something in something else. And we know when we're talking about water and being baptized, it's to immerse someone in water. It's really the difference between having a shower and having a bath. Yeah, if you go and have a shower, don't tell people you just... if you have a shower, don't go and tell people you had a bath. All right, we understand the difference in the concept. The shower is a constant sprinkling over you, but a bath is when you are immersed into a body of water. And that's what the word means. And so when we talk about baptism, we're talking about a ceremony where someone is immersed into water. And so when Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father," he didn't give the disciples like a little sprinkling thing where you're just throwing it over people after you've taught them. That wouldn't even be in their concept. They understand that when they teach and make disciples, they were to immerse as well. And that's why when the Ethiopian eunuch asked, "What hinders me to be baptized?" Philip didn't get out his drink bottle and splash him with it. He saw a body of water and they went down into the river and there he immersed him. When John the Baptist was baptizing the people, he was there at the Jordan River, and the scholars say it was at one of the deepest areas of the Jordan River, so that he could immerse the people in that body of water. And so if you're a Christian and you have been sprinkled, and whatever reason for doing that as a child or as an adult, please don't say it's baptism, because it's not. Baptism is an immersion in water. Now, we also, I think it's good to understand that baptism wasn't something new in the New Testament. It didn't just start in the New Testament or when John the Baptist came along. The Jews were very well aware of immersion in water, or what they would call baptism as well. You see, if there was a Gentile who wanted to convert to Judaism, they had read the scriptures, and I dare say the Ethiopian eunuch would have been this. All right, he had seen the truth and realized that the God of Israel, Jehovah, was the true and only God. And if a Gentile wanted to become a Jew in that sense and worship their God and enjoy all the blessings that came with it, the Jewish people would call that a proselyte. A proselyte to Judaism, someone who was converting over to their religion. And if a Gentile wanted to identify with God's people and worship their God, it wasn't just a matter of confessing it with their mouth and saying, "Yes, I believe that Jehovah is the true and only God and I'm going to follow him." If they want to worship with them and enjoy all the blessings that came with God's people, there was a particular ceremony that they had to perform. And it had three parts to it. First part, if you're a male, you needed to be circumcised. The second part was that you had to be immersed or baptized. And this is what the Jews said about this baptism. It says, "It was a demonstration that they were dead to the old life. They were dead to their old customs and habits and traditions. Most of all, they were dead to the old idolatry and the old iniquities." And then they go on to say, this old life is gone, and they were burying it. And that submersion into water depicted the death of that old life. And they would come out of that water, having risen to walk in a cleansed and new life with God's community, God's family. So immersion, not sprinkling or anything like that, but this baptism was something that the Jewish people clearly understood and they practiced themselves. Now, after that, the third part was there was to be an animal sacrifice. Taking of an innocent one and shedding its blood and offering as a sacrifice. And they knew, the Jews knew, that they wanted the Gentile to understand that forgiveness of sin from God would only be granted due or through the death of the innocent one. There needed to be a substitute. And it's very sad that these Jewish people, they went through these rituals understanding there needed to be that substitutionary death for them, yet they missed the Lamb of God, so many. But you can see that those that had a clear understanding of the Word of God, it all made sense when they saw the Lord Jesus. It all made sense. Now, the important thing to take note of or to realize about baptism was that this, though, was something only the Gentile did. This was something a Gentile would do in order to become a proselyte of Judaism or to convert to Judaism. The Jews themselves weren't baptized. Now, that was all fine for them until someone by the name of John the Baptist, came along. And he began to say that everybody needed to be baptized. In fact, he was preaching to the Jews and saying that they needed to be baptized. And that would have smacked a proud Gentile fair in the face, that they had to act like a Gentile, that they also were outside of God's blessing, that they needed to repent from their sin and turn to Him and be washed in order to be in God's family. That was something that they weren't used to hearing, and I know the priests and the Pharisees, they certainly didn't like what they heard. When they went out and saw people being baptized like a Gentile, they certainly didn't like what they were seeing either. And they wanted to put a stop to it as quickly as possible. Now, as I said, it wasn't because people were being baptized, they were used to that. It was just who was being baptized that they didn't like. But we know that in the Gospels we read of how John the Baptist preached, told them to repent of their sin and be baptized, and many of the Jews were. And so in the days before Christ and after Christ, baptism, that immersion into water, was clearly understood and was a ceremony that people partook in. Now the question is, who was to be baptized? We know for the Jews, they understood it was only the Gentiles. But for the New Testament believer, well then, who is to be baptized? Is it something that adults do, or is it something that babies do? Is it something that adults can do for their children in a way of securing their eternity until they get to that age of understanding? Well, I've read the Bible quite a few times, and I see none of that taught. I guess you can take lots of long bows and string some certain things out about the eighth day with circumcision, but it's not taught. It's not there. You have to make a lot of assumptions. But what is clearly taught is that someone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is then baptized. That is very clear. And I think the first time would be the best place to look at Acts chapter 2. If you turn there, when the church began, we know that it was the day of Pentecost and Peter saw the gathering of the Jews and proselytes from all over the world, and they had come to worship and partake in that Pentecost ceremony. It says in chapter 2, verse 40, after he had preached Christ crucified, he said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about, and it was 3,000. But we see here that they gladly received the word. There are other passages where gladly receiving the word is another phrase for believing, accepting what they had heard. And so we see that they hear the word, they receive the word, that is, believe and be saved, and then they are baptized, and then they were added to the church. Many people don't realize that, hey, you can use that as added to the church, the universal church, but I suspect here it's more talking about the local church they were added to. People leave that one out. They think that's for something way down the track too. But the order here is simple. It's not someone gets baptized and by being baptized they're baptized into a church and then because they are now in the church they're saved. Salvation isn't through being in a church. That's completely the wrong way about. You get saved by believing, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then upon salvation, you are baptized. You know, we see a very similar thing in the book of Acts chapter 10. Please turn there. We see the testimony when the gospel was first preached to the Jewish people and the church began. And then this is the first occasion when the gospel was preached to the Gentiles. And we see here that Peter was sent to a centurion man by the name of Cornelius. And he went there, they were all gathered, and this is what he said, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And so Peter preaches the gospel, and it is not spelt out clearly, but we can presume, or we can be very sure, that they believe this word because the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within them, and it was proved through the speaking of tongues. So they can see that the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles and not just the Jew. We see that, verse 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And so we see here the Spirit of God dwelt within them. That only happens when a person is saved. And what was next? Verse 47, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So we see that same order. You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel and receive the Lord, you're saved, then you're baptized. It's not you hear the word, you get saved, and then I'm going to wait for years and prove myself. They were baptized the very same day that they got saved, in that immersion of water. There was no baptismal courses. Okay, you got to come for the next every week for the next 3 months while I instruct you in all the in-depth understanding. They were baptized that very day when they were saved. There was no certificate given afterwards either that proof of baptism. It was very simple. We're very good at complicating the simple things of God. You hear the word of God, you believe, you receive Christ as your Savior, and you get baptized. That's the way we should do it, really. And for me, though, as a teenager, the biggest question was, why be baptized? And as I said before, it comes down to that simple understanding. It was a commandment. It's something that Jesus wanted to be done. And so that's why you do it, for no other reason. We know that it is also a public testimony of your salvation and an identification with Him. And, you know, for us today to make a public testimony of salvation, it's pretty easy in a building where everyone else agrees and they're saved. In the days of Christ, I'd go down to a river, and I dare say they're all the unsaved, and they're looking, what are those crazy Christians doing? And I dare say if we went down to Lake Waroona and we decided to get baptized there, people would think, what are these crazy Christians? Then giving a public testimony would probably be a lot scarier. But we do know that for a lot of our culture, to be baptized as a Christian doesn't really mean too much. You can have unsaved family and they don't really care too much. But I tell you, you go to some countries and that's a big thing. We know people in Verona and in Italy, and for them to say that they trust Christ as their Savior, their Catholic parents can accept that because they say the same thing. But to be baptized, that's when things start to trouble begins. And for some, they're actually cut off from the family once they've been baptized, because they made that testimony that they're trusting in Christ and Him alone for their salvation. And they don't need to be baptized into a church in order to be saved. They are baptized into Christ. And that's where salvation is. And when we are baptized, that's what we're doing. We're saying, I believe that Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and He rose again. And I believe that one day I will die and I'll be buried, but I will rise again to be with Him. And if you want to get even deeper, I believe that I died with Christ that day, and I was buried with Him, and I have risen already to a new life, and that brings lots of things for the Christian. And Romans talks about that. And so, if you're saved today, but you haven't been baptized, let me ask you this, why haven't you been, when it's such a simple commandment? You can't use ignorance now. Maybe pride. I don't want to get all wet in front of everyone. It looks very strange. If it's pride, God can humble you in other ways. If it's laziness, I'll get around to it. He can stir you in one way or another. If it's rebellion, well, He can deal with that too. But as I said, for me, ultimately, it came down to simply obeying the Lord. And I praise the Lord we have three people today that simply want to obey the Lord and go through those waters of baptism. And I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to hear their testimonies. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You that, Lord, You have left us with this ordinance, this order, whereby we can remember what You did for us. And Lord, although we get to enjoy that ceremony where we remember Your death and shedding Your blood and allowing Your body to be broken regularly, we don't see this picture of baptism as often. But thank You then when we can. And I pray that, Lord, You will be glorified as we see three more willing to obey You in this way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.